Hi, this is Liz.
And this is Kim.
Thanks for joining us for our 14th episode of Season 2 of Keep Up with Liz and Kim.
You know, one of my favorite things that you have brought to Ada, Liz, through Discover Ada is all these amazing car events. Can you tell us more about them?
Most definitely. Yeah, we have three this year. We're super excited. We have Rise on River and Cars and Coffee. So definitely stay connected to the ABA and Discover Ada to learn about the dates, the times. But the first one is Rise on River on June 7th. It is always a good time. This is a partnership with Label Motorsports. It's all custom-built vehicles all along River Street. It has been really cool, too, to bring a different demographic down to Ada Village.
Yeah, I love the vibrancy of these events. Rides on River are those dream cars, those ones you almost feel like you shouldn't touch or get too close to, but they're so incredible to see up close and to talk to the owners. But I really love Cars and Coffee. It's just people are out, they're in the restaurants eating as they look at the cars, they're shopping, they're getting up close, and they're, you know, just having a great time.
It is. There's a vibe down here, definitely, when those cars fill that parking lot. So yes. We're excited. Well, in talking about cars, Kim.
Yes, we have Mike and Jason Veenstra joining us on the podcast today. Mike Veenstra is a lifelong Grand Rapids resident and third generation repair shop owner. Mike started in the automotive industry over 40 years ago, and when he graduated from a local tech school, he then went to work for the family business. Veenstra's Garage was founded in 1925 by Mike's grandfather, and it was truly a family affair. When he first joined the team, Mike worked as a technician alongside his brother and his father. In June 2017, Mike opened an Ada location and asked his son, Jason, if he would serve as the general manager. Veenstra's Garage was officially on the path to a fourth generation of family ownership.
All right, we're super excited to have Mike and Jason with us. All right, Mike and Jason, we always say we start with the hardest question because it is hard to talk a little bit about yourself. And you guys, can you talk a little bit about Veenstra's?
Sure. My father was at Veenstra's Garage for as long as I knew. That's just all I knew as a kid. He would go to work, come home, and we'd eat dinner. Well, I got done with high school, and I thought, what do I do now? And we really never had any big, you know, discussions about the future. And he says, well, why don't you go to Ferris? They have a good automotive program. So I went to Ferris, and when I was completed with that, I went to work. And so that was interesting. That was 1979 when I started. So how many years is that? 46?
You know, I'm not great at math, but...
That sounds right.
That sounds... 46 years. It's a long, long time. So I think I know everything. The thing I didn't realize really is when I started work, I was a young man, and we had these mature, really good techs, and they kind of, you know... They trained me, and at some point in time, and they didn't necessarily, there was no respect there either. And at some point in time, I had young kids starting to go, Mr. Veenstra, and asking me questions, and like doing whatever I asked. And so that was kind of an interesting transition. I go, when did that happen? When did I get old? When did I, you know, learn to... You know, when did I get this respect? And then going home was a different thing because my wife and my kids were not my employees. And so I had to learn to take the hat off of work. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, that's all I've known. At some point in time, I had to decide if I wanted to work on cars or work on the business. And so... That was kind of a pivotal time mm-hmm. for me to try to almost like release, you know, a piece of what we did to other people.
Was it hard for that transition to go from, you know, working on the cars to now working on the business?
It was necessity. Okay. So it was, in some parts it was hard, but it felt really good to be able to not have to keep all the balls in the air, mm-hmm. that I could let somebody else do that, and that actually took some stress off.
Yeah. So. How about you, Jason? Did you also go to school for automotive repair?
No, I went to school for general business management. So I started working in the family business in like 1999. So I've been working there for 26 years when I was 14. Cleaning floors and then changing oil and doing odds and end jobs, and ended up working in the summers as like a lube tech doing, you know, tires, oil changes, and went to college for business, continued working part-time, full-time in the summer. Again, just doing general maintenance and repair. It came readily apparent that I was not an auto repair mechanic. I could do a lot of things poorly, a couple of things well, so that's why I went into management in college. And roughly that time, my dad and one of the current managers encouraged me to actually leave the family business and get my toes wet elsewhere to see what it's like to work somewhere without having the name on the building. I don't feel like I ever really got any special treatment. Maybe I did, but so I left for 7 years, went and worked for a local forklift company. Started out low, ended up becoming a manager, and decided it wasn't for me. Asked my dad if I could come back, and it took a few years, but we found a job that worked for me to come back full time, and the rest is history.
And it's a long history for Veenstra's, 100 yeah. years. I mean, that's quite incredible.
It is incredible. Yep. It's I guess I never thought about it. You know, years ago, I always thought my dad had been there for 40-some years, and I would remember, oh, man, that's a long time. How did he do that? So, but here I am. But speaking back to Jason, I remember I never had management training or HR training or people leadership training. And so that aspect of the business was really hard for me. And I think that's why we suggested to Jason to go work for somebody, mm-hmm. because I know what I went through, and I didn't want him to go through that without having a little bit of, you know, school of hard knocks of a different sort. And so, anyway, but yeah, 100 years, it's quite amazing. I never knew my grandpa. He's the one who started in 1925. And he died in 1950, so I never met the man. But I don't know how many years ago, let's say 30 years ago, I went to the library and I was going through the archives to just find out a little bit more about the business and so on. And I was going up by 5-year periods of time to see locations of where he was, where he lived, etc. And I went from like 1945, and then to 1955, and all of a sudden it was just Evelyn Veenstra, my grandma, and I go, he's not here. And so then I went back and I started going up year by year, and I almost had my own moment of grief, my moment mm-hmm. of you know, experiencing my grandpa's death without knowing him, mm-hmm. and it was something literally I could feel, you know, deep down, you know, having watched his life unfold. Keep in mind that he started business just before the Depression, and so there's those years where things would change address and so on, and I go, what was, oh, that's the Depression, you know, that impacted him. So we don't know how it impacted him, other than he had a new address, both for work and for home, and so there's just a lot of history. Yeah. So,
how have you guys adjusted? Because being in business for 100 years, a 100-year-old car is a lot different than today's car. You know, like they talk about, you're plugging in computers to now fix things. How have you guys kept up with that and adjusted, and not only like in the car world, but also business world?
Well, I'll go start for a story that a customer of mine told me about my grandpa. So she had been a 3-generation customer, and she said she was very young. They actually had a new car, and she backed into something. She damaged it. And she was just beside herself. She didn't want to take this thing home and show her husband. And so she took it to my grandpa. And back then they did everything, body work as well. And so he fixed it up. And she came and picked it up at the end of the day and says, be careful, the paint's still wet. So that's a poignant memory for her.
Yeah.
But now we wouldn't do that today because we don't, you know, body shops are their own specialty. But, you know, technology, we've seen technology. When I started, we had drum brakes, a different kind of brakes. Now, nowadays, it's disc brakes. We had our own little learning curve there. Then we went to computerized cars and from carburetors to fuel injection. And that was a change, but it didn't happen fast. You know, we consider ourselves aftermarket, and so what happens to us takes maybe 3 to 5 years. It'll be out in the wild for 3 to 5 years before we see it, maybe for anything more than an oil change. And so that gives us time to, you know, send techs to training and so on. So, yeah, it's we've been able to keep up. You know, yep. The aftermarket does a very good job with that.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. There's some really good training companies that we use that, you know, multiple times a year put classes out there that we can pay to send our technicians to make sure that we're staying cutting edge and understanding best practices for diagnosis and repair on all the latest technologies that are coming out there. So it's continual learning. It's not just open up the hood, fix the car. It's a whole lot more involved.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then you guys opened a shop in Ada.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we opened the shop in Ada in 2017. Yeah, I'll never forget it because my dad had been in contact with the previous owner for a couple years trying to figure out if he'd be interested in selling, and finally he decided he was ready to be done, and we were ready to take on a second location. I was ready to move up in the business. So my dad and I talked and decided I would come out to Ada to manage this location. And the deal went down. And I was there for 1 week for kind of an initial soft transition. And then my youngest daughter was born. Aww. So I will never forget the year that we bought the business. It's as old as my daughter is. So
how cool is that? Yeah.
Super
awesome. That's special. Yeah.
And we love being in Ada. I grew up in Ada, so it was just kind of a sweet transition. Community's great.
So you, that customer base remained with you from the business before?
Correct. Yeah, yeah. We maintained a lot of the customers. Everyone was pretty happy. There's a couple people that don't like change. So, you know, we lost a couple, but for the most part, you know, we held on to all of the customers that were there previously, and we've grown it, you know, our customer base significantly since then.
And I read a lot of that was from your marketing. I was reading an article. You guys were in a car magazine, I believe it was, and it said that you really stepped back and looked at your marketing and how you were appealing to customers and how you were able to retain customers through the pandemic and come out of that still strong. Could you guys expand on that a little bit?
Well, the pandemic was very interesting because everybody stopped working,
right,
except for home-based or, you know,
essentials,
we were an essential business. Yeah. But half of my employees chose to stay home just because who knows what COVID is, right?
Right.
And so that was really scary. We continued marketing. We've always been a big proponent of direct mail, and then we do some other things, you know, social media, and what was the latest thing we just started? The
geo-presence?
Yeah, geo-presence.
Geo-fencing.
And, but anyway, that's just kept us kind of top of mind, and, but talk about, you know, I talk about my grandpa and, you know, the depression. And so I think COVID was that way because how many businesses don't exist now that didn't make it through COVID? And it was kind of quiet for a while. But, you know, the government did a great job. PPP money saved us. We don't know if we'd be here today if we didn't have it.
Yeah.
And but we just kept on doing what we did, trying to figure out how to, you know, wasn't it weird having to clean cars because you just don't know where the virus lands and how long it stays there. So we're trying to protect our employees, but also trying to protect our customers, and going through all these things, you know, and wearing masks, which was awful. And so, yeah. But I've always needed people alongside me. So I've always been part of business groups, and you know, so we've done marketing for a long, long time. And I like to surround myself with experts who know more than me, and I can take some of their advice. So
yeah, and some of that advice was to not scale back on marketing, even though the business was getting super skinny. You know, it's quick and easy to take that out of your budget so that you can survive. But you know, a lot of people scaled back or stopped marketing, and I mean, we scaled back a little, but if you don't keep marketing, you're not going to stay in front of people. So I think it ended up benefiting us quite greatly through marketing, because when business started coming back and people started venturing out and driving their cars, you know, we went from maintaining enough for the guys to work to having plenty for everyone. So
what are some of like the hard challenges? One, you guys are a family business, so that can always add some challenges. And then two, just being a small business, what are some of like the biggest challenges that you guys face?
So I'm going to jump in. Family business for some is difficult. I feel like it's been a total blessing. Mm-hmm. We've had a great relationship for all 20 plus years I've been working for my dad. I don't think we've ever had a fight. We've never had a disagreement. Well, I mean, maybe a minor disagreement, but nothing to write home about. So, you know, it was interesting in high school and college living at home and going home to dinner, and my dad and I are talking to shop, and everyone else at the table is like, well, you guys just, you know, have a family conversation. And, but it just goes to show what I don't know, we didn't have to leave it at work. We could bring it home in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. I felt like it was a healthy way, and it's just been, I don't know, super special.
Yeah, it's been it's real, because Jason and I stayed connected those 7 years when he was working elsewhere. And I really wanted him in the business, but I didn't want to put my hopes and dreams there, because I wanted him to find his own path. And so that was really, for me, it was just such a blessing to see the fire in his belly. It grew. And but the challenges for me, I was always quick to ask for help and to have people who were smarter than me by my side, so that, you know, to have mentors. And because that makes all the difference when you just don't know what to do, and sometimes that outside voice can cut through all the unknown gray, you know, that's in my brain. And then I can make that decision, and oh, that was a good decision. So it was good to have people around me. And so if anybody else who's starting a business like I did, it's always good to make sure you're looking for help, because I found I couldn't do it on my own.
Yeah, sometimes asking for help can be hard. You're just thinking, I can just plow through this. But I think you were probably a little ahead of your time realizing how important mentors are. Mm-hmm. I hear a lot more people talking about that no matter where you're at in your career, that you should consider having a mentor, somebody that can, like you said, look at something from a different lens, mm-hmm. or cut through the noise and mm-hmm. give you a different perspective. And I love that when you surround yourself by experts, mm-hmm. you know, then they can just help you through instead of you spending a lot of time just treading water, trying mm-hmm. to figure it out on your own.
Yeah, that's good. And then, you know, of course, the two big pieces are, I heard right in the beginning, make sure you have a good accountant.
Yes, yeah. Always.
Keep the money in line.
Yeah.
And a good lawyer to make sure that, not to get you out of trouble, but to keep you from trouble. And so those two pieces have served us well. And
what advice, if somebody ever wanted to start an auto repair facility or a a family business. What advice would you guys give them?
Stay away. Not a bad way. But they always say you got to be a little crazy to get into the auto repair industry.
I was in a business group, and this business group, one of our aims, goals, was to investigate what it took to be multi-location. And so we had some really, really successful people kind of mentoring, you know, some of us average business, all repair businessmen. And so that started me thinking, you know, because I, you know, back in, you know, when Jason started, and then I had other very good people working for me, and I thought, you know, that can turn into a lot of overhead, so what do you do with that? Do I have to fire somebody because, you know, their pay rate is going so high? But my thought was, well, let's see if we can't find a place for them. And so that's when I started looking for location two, and one of my goals was I wanted it to be, I don't want to say easier, but I wanted it to be, how do I say it, a better location or a better business effort than my, you know, the location one was. And so that's why we ended up in Ada, because great demographics, great, you know, Amway. We have just the Amway, or Ada is really a really strong environment. And so my one of the things I would say to somebody who wants to start is location is important.
Yeah.
You know, most might, definitely.
You can find a cheap location, you know, on a back road someplace, but Fulton Street, look at the traffic.
Yeah,
patience is king there. I mean, if you want to get into it, you just got to be patient. Mm-hmm. You know, a good deal might pop up, but a good deal isn't always a good deal.
Right. Yeah. There's a reason it's a good deal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I see your building every single day.
Yeah.
So you're right. Location, location. Yeah. And yeah.
So the way that one came to be is I was talking to my wife, and we talked, you know, this Ada Auto Repair is such a great location. How do we do this? And so I decided to go in and buy wiper blades.
Okay.
Just so I gave me an excuse to get into the business. So I went in and bought wiper blades for my car. And I was talking to Steve, the owner we bought from, and he says, "Veenstra, what are you doing here?"
He knew.
he called me out. And so then I said, you know, once we went outside, and I says, "Well, this is why I'm here." And it started a conversation. Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That just that wiper blades started a conversation at the right time for him. And it took probably 3 or 4 years from that moment. But I think we developed a relationship that he felt comfortable with. So.
Oh, that's great. I love it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was kind of like people, I use this word a lot, but it's almost like you manifested it. You saw the location, you found a way to make contact, and then, like you said, you were able to build that relationship. So, that's great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we always like to ask, how would you spend a perfect day, a perfect Saturday? You can make it a perfect evening, whatever you like, in Ada.
I'll start.
Okay.
I've lived in this community for 40 years or so, and so there was no bike paths when we moved into our home near Spalding and Ada Drive, and so when the bike paths came in, that was great. I remember taking Jason and his sisters across the street, Ada Drive, down into what used to be a gravel pit, and we built a fire and cooked breakfast in the sand dunes around, you know, what is now, you know, a thriving, you can't do it anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
But today, my wife and I love to ride our bikes into Ada, and we'll, you know, go to Zayton or back then Vitale's when it was right in the village. And but we always spoke, said, questioning, says, why are the dumpsters on the backside of the businesses on the riverside?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is such a waste of a natural resource. And so when they decided to change it, it was like, wow, this is so awesome, you know, River Street, the park. I mean, it just speaks to a really deep place in who my wife and I are. And so just this a week and a half ago, we were kind of worked hard around the yard, and we didn't really feel like getting dressed up and going for dinner, but we called into the garage bar and got some takeout, and then we went and sat by the river and watched. There must have been 100 kids playing on the playground, little girls and boys, you know, doing cartwheels, and it was just so fun. Yeah. And so that's kind of, you know, who we are. We love to just kind of sit, but you know, the paths are great. We love Seedman Park. Mm-hmm. Love walking, you know, through Ada Park. And you know, if we were to spend a Saturday, we would probably start with breakfast at, you know, Mudpenny or Nona or the Pantry, and then probably go for a walk. Then my wife would do some shopping while I got my book out and went by the river. Maybe I'd go to the hardware because that's my kind of shopping.
Yeah. Grab some popcorn.
Yeah, right. and then maybe I'd move my book to Gravel Bottom Brewery and sit out on the patio if it's a nice day. And mm-hmm. So anyway, there's just so much to do, and it's we feel like we have such a treasure. My wife would take her now deceased mother, and she says, this just feels like such a resort town.
Aww, that's
and great. Then she takes her sister for coffee, yeah. And they just love it because it's one of those sweet places that are, you know, you can just sit there and, you know, it's just nice.
Yeah. Well, it's super safe and walkable. Like, I work in Ada every day, and when it's a nice day, I just like to go for a walk. You know, I'll walk from the shop down to the covered bridge, walk around. I'll walk behind the apartments. I love the new path that goes down Fulton Street and under the bridge, yes, along the Grand River and back up by Amway. It's like a perfect lunch walk. But a perfect Saturday in Ada. I mean, I'd bring my kids to Sprinkles, get them some donuts, get me some donuts, drink some coffee. Same as you. Go for a walk. Enjoy the river now. Because when I was a kid, we used to go to the Little Red Schoolhouse ice cream shop. And the same thing. We'd like weave our way through the pucker brush to go try and sit by the river to enjoy our ice cream. And now it's just right there and ready for everyone to enjoy. I love reading a book at the Pavilion. I had not seen a concert there yet, but I've heard that they're a ton of fun to go to. But same thing. I'd end up at Gravel Bottom, enjoy a nice brewski. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, there's just so many great food options, and everywhere is wonderful. Everyone's pleasant, always got a smile. When you walk around, you get to know people. It's kind of it's just a great small town community.
Yeah, it really is. Well, thank you guys so much. This was wonderful. So if people want to stay connected to you, how can they stay connected?
You know, we are primarily an inbound business, so people come to us. You know, it's and so we do have Facebook, at Veenstra's, and I think we might have some other social media things, but...
we do. Yes. I'm pretty sure we're present in almost every platform, not super present, but we're there.
Yeah.
Veenstra'sGarage.com.
Yeah. Our customers receive an email newsletter with some fun stuff in it. And then we also have like a text service for like if they're due for an oil change, but then they will use that and, you know, to reach out to us, which is really nice. You know, we're basically a face-to-face business.
Yeah.
But there is some digital side of it that is very functional as well. So.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. This has been fun.
Mm-hmm.
right, Kim, should we jump into the Fast Five?
Let's do it. Coming up on June 4th, the ABA will be hosting a ribbon cutting for William Charles Search Group at 4 p.m. Check out our Facebook page. It's also on our website, but come along, join us, and welcome this new business to Ada.
All right, and number two, June 7th, Rise on River Street. Like we talked about at the beginning of the podcast, definitely come out. It is an awesome event, and we're excited to have it again.
Also on June 7th, Workman Outfitters will be hosting Demo Day. Learn more about the brands they carry and the excursions they host. Visit their Facebook page for more information.
All right, and number four, June 12th is Summer Women's Night in Ada. We're doing a staycation themed. It's going to be super fun. Come check it out. All the retail stores are participating, the restaurants. Enjoy cocktails on the go with our social district. Super great time.
And mark your calendars for June 20th. That is going to be the first Beers at the Bridge in Ada Village. This is the 10th anniversary of Beers at the Bridge. More information will be coming out soon, so check the Ada Village Facebook page, and Liz and I will also be sharing that out on our social media platforms.
All right. If you want to keep up with what is happening in Ada, learn about the businesses, and participate in our upcoming events, follow Discover Ada and ABA on social media, and subscribe to this podcast.
Thanks for listening. Now try to keep up.